The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Want the real story behind the sound bites and headlines? Let's find the facts. Remember, it's not a conspiracy theory if it's the truth. You are not paranoid or confused. You just need to know.
Welcome in, everybody. Here we go with another Need to Know, freshly back in my Birmingham studio after a week in Las Vegas. And before you start thinking about me partying hardy and nightclubs and sitting at roulette wheels and getting free drinks and going to the all-you-can-eat midnight buffet, that is not a very accurate picture of what my activities the last few days in Vegas were. No, I was actually out there on a very important family mission. As you know, Case Kiefer, who's featured with us on K4 Wins and on the starting lineup on ABC 3340, my eldest son, he and his wife Tracy gave birth on Friday to my second grandchild, their second. And it's a little girl. Aria Rain Kiefer has debuted. She was 7 pounds, 12 ounces. Beautiful. Just so much excitement in the family. First girl Kiefer in the family since 1961 when my sister was born. That is a long drought of a lot of boys that have come since then. It's a miraculous time for our family and just a joyous occasion. So my Las Vegas weekend was spent predominantly waiting for the birth, celebrating the birth, and having a lot of quality time with my 4.5-year-old grandson, King Kiefer. We went to 2 different Golden Knights hockey games, which is his favorite thing in the world, and took in his T-ball game. You know, people that think of Las Vegas, you know, I hear people say, I don't like Las Vegas. Well, you know, Las Vegas is not just the Strip or the Fremont Street downtown area. A lot of the myths about Las Vegas are absolutely bogus, that it's some kind of just wild, you know, place that does not harbor any kind of normal life. My son and my daughter in law live out in a suburb called Inspirada. Case is, of course, the sports editor of the Las Vegas Sun, covers the Raiders extensively. We'll be covering all of the Vegas Golden Knights playoff games. He's got a regular job and his family lives out in the suburbs, and you don't see any casinos. You don't see any kind of entertainment out there. You see fast food places, you see shopping centers, Inspirada, Henderson, all the surrounding suburbs, pretty much like any place USA. So that's where I've been. I'm glad to be back. Flew back last night, back here for another edition of Need to Know. But I thought I wanted you to know my week's activities before we got started here. Of course, I've still been monitoring events. There's a lot of downtime. In fact, one of the good things about a long delivery process is that you have some time to fritter away, and I didn't fritter it away. I watched a lot of different documentaries. I read a lot of information. I always pride myself on telling you here on Need to Know that all the source of my information comes from my own reading, my own research, my own thought process, and my own conclusions. I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. I don't call myself even an independent, because that has taken on an identity of its own. I am an American. I am a traditionalist. I am a constitutionalist. And I just believe in everything this country was established for. I concede the fact that there were mistakes made. The country, for its first 248 years, has grinded along. But the institution this country was founded on, American exceptionalism, the shining city on the hill, which all eyes will be cast upon. This audacious experiment that we call America is still alive and well today, and in better shape than it was has been in recent years, when people were allowed to rise to power that want to take it in a different direction. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit later. One thing that has caught my eye has been a litany of recent Supreme Court decisions reversing the lower courts, the district courts, which is the lowest rung on the federal judge level, that was not created by the Constitution. You keep hammering Democrats. This is an assault on democracy. This is a constitutional crisis. Well, the founders who wrote the Constitution did not have any designation for these federal district judges by the hundreds. They did put a provision in the Constitution that the Congress could expand the judicial branch of government as they see fit, as times dictate. And over the years, we have become such a litigation society. There's so many lawsuits filed for everything that a number of judges needed to be created and appointed. And these appointments are lifetime, which, you know, on the Supreme Court level, I get that. I do get that. But I think every judge, I think a part of the Department of Justice, which is supposed to stay completely independent because they're a prosecutorial entity, maybe it would be an independent review board of a cross-section of different judges of different ideologies. But I believe that every one of these district judges, okay, give them a 6-year term, give them even a 10-year term. But I think every one of those should be analyzed on their case record, how many of their decisions were later reversed by the appeals court or by the Supreme Court, how many of their decisions are clearly political and ideological. And this, again, this works for both sides. The current situation, of course, is this unbelievable, unending series of lawsuits for basically every action that President Trump tries to institute with executive orders. Somebody somewhere immediately, a Democrat operative, whether it be an attorney general in a blue state or somebody who runs one of these radical organizations, they're running right to court. They're shopping for the right judge, which is another thing the Supreme Court did this week, last week, that you may not be aware. The Supreme Court said, hey, wait, no more of this going out to California for a case that's being disputed in Maryland. No more of going to Texas on the other side, on the right, finding some conservative judge to consider a problem that you're trying to solve involving somebody from the opposite side of the fence. You have to have these cases adjudicated now, according to the Supreme Court, in the jurisdiction where everything is playing out. And in the case of Donald Trump, of course, most of his decisions are issued in Washington, D.C. So a court in at least the District of Columbia, I guess if there's several federal judges, I'm not sure exactly how many would have kind of purview in that particular area. But most of the district courts are placed in all kinds of different areas of the country. So if there's something going on, Mike, my best example of that is most recently the Mahmoud. Now I've had a senior moment here. Mahmoud Khalil case. Mahmoud Khalil, of course, this is a huge news this week. Mahmoud Khalil, if you haven't heard the name or you don't know who I'm talking about, is a Syrian-born, avid, hardcore Muslim, huge supporter of Hamas, huge critic and vitriolic anti-Semitic Jewish hater. This is a guy that was allowed a student visa to come to this country to study his postgraduate work at Columbia University. The guy's 31 years old, so we're not talking about an 18-year-old college kid. We're talking about a 31 18-year-old. This guy has come to this country not to really work on his education at Columbia or finish whatever degree or get whatever advanced degree that he allegedly was seeking. All of that on his application was not necessarily falsified, but he left out the little fact that he is a vehement anti-Semite, and he is a guy that believes in the cause of Hamas, which is to march every Israeli from the river to the sea to eliminate that race of people. But he fits right in. He's at Columbia University in New York. He fits right in. He has been the absolute leader and distributor of all kinds of pro-Hamas literature at Columbia. This is a guy that if you're walking around on campus would approach you and try and enlist you for support for his cause to eliminate the state of Israel. He was fully supportive of the October 7th, 2024 2023 atrocity where over 1,400 innocent Jewish people living in suburban neighborhoods were slaughtered or tortured or raped or worse, kidnapped. And there's still hostages being held, of course, on the Gaza Strip as the Israelis continue to try and eliminate for good Hamas, which is their only choice. If you've got a terrorist organization, and it's, you know, people are trying to tell you on the left that, well, it's not fair to call them terrorists because so many innocent, I love this term, innocent Palestinian people are caught up in this whole drama. And they use that crutch to mask their anti-Israel, anti-Semitic hate of this race of people that they don't think belong in this region, although that's their ancestral land. They only came there after World War II, where 6 million Jews were exterminated by the Nazis in concentration camps and other atrocities, mass shootings. They would line them up in a ditch and machine gun the whole bunch, men, women, children. It didn't matter. It was such a blight on the history of the world that displaced, their lives ruined. There needed to be some place for the millions of people from the Jewish faith who survived World War II. They were no longer welcome in Europe. So the British government was the forerunner, but the Americans' full support was to return the Israeli, was to return the European Jews to their native homeland, which was the land of Israel, which was not, and this is another thing they'll deceive you on, this was not Palestine. It was heavily populated by Palestinians at the time, but it was not a country. It was a territory, and it was the natural place for Jews to go, because I think I've told you several times on the podcast, the real reason this place is so controversial and such a draw is because of the city of Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the cradle of so many of the religions in this world today that have survived, Muslim, Christian, Jewish, everybody considers Jerusalem the sacred ground. And there's been this tug of war for centuries over this land that occupies the holiest of holy cities of Jerusalem. You've got everything there from the Muslim or the Jewish Wailing Wall to several of the most important icons in the Muslim faith, and all the way up to, until Christianity, with that being the land of Jesus. Born, of course, in Bethlehem, but again, it's held sacred by so many different religions, and this has been going on for just centuries and centuries. So, you've got this terrible misconception that's painted by the complicit media and by all the academics in these Ivy League, superior, elitist. We know best. You know nothing. We are the genius experts on everything. They tend to be far left. They are, surprisingly, there's even Jewish members of this community. A lot of the politicians that are outspoken on the Democrat side and really support policies for this hatred to continue are Jewish themselves. So it really doesn't make sense when you start to look at it. But the bottom line is Khalil was here as a person that was issued a student visa to come to this country to study, to get his degree, and then take that and go home. But what this guy did was become this radical leader on the Columbia campus of all of these rallies. If you look at footage from the last 2 years, the guy on the podium making all the noise, talking all the smack about Israel being evil and needing to be eliminated, getting the crowd to chant, "We are Hamas," including young women. This is what, and I've mentioned this before, so I apologize if you're a regular listener, but I am so befuddled. How can any young 20-something-year-old woman just be out there yelling, "We are Hamas"? Hamas is... their views on everything is ancient Islamic rule, and ancient Islamic theory means women are completely discounted. Women from, in most cases, can't leave their homes unless they're escorted by a male member of their family. They must have their heads covered. They don't have any rights whatsoever. They're not given the opportunity in most of these hardcore Muslim situations to even attend school. An education isn't necessary for a woman in this radical Islamic world. And yet you've got people out there chanting, "I am Hamas," that are 20-something-year-old women. It's insanity. Do they know anything about the world? And if you stick a microphone in their face, they'll say, well, what they're doing to the poor, innocent Palestinian people is absolutely horrible. Well, the poor, innocent Palestinian people selected Hamas as the leaders in elections of their country back in the 1970s. And you can say, well, you know, a bad party gets in power on a lot of different examples in history, but the man on the street in Palestine, and there's documentaries, if you want to look them up, you can find them. There are documentaries where they ask just typical Palestinians walking down the street. They've been so brainwashed since they were born. They all 100% support what happened on October 7th and the murder of Jews and the elimination of Israel. It's not like these people are living in fear and being manipulated. They are manipulated big time because a lot of the military installations and different things that Hamas does are hidden right in the middle of residential neighborhoods, so they won't be bombed. So they're basically using the poor, innocent Palestinian people as human shields. But these people have not had a good quality of life. The poverty is horrible. When there are relief shipments sent from other parts of the world, a lot of times the Hamas infrastructure seizes those and sells all those supplies on the black market to raise revenue. They are totally supported by the radical Iranian government, who hates Israel more than anyone else and would like nothing better than to finish this nuclear weapon and wipe them off the face of the earth. So when you're out there chanting, "We are Hamas," and "death to Israel," and raising your fist in the air, the next step in that process, believe me, folks, if you're an American, you need to be horrified by this, because the next let's call Israel the appetizer. The entree is right here where I'm sitting, where you're listening, the United States of America. The real Satan, the real evil in the world, in these radical Muslims' minds, is our country with our individual liberty, our freedom, are what they call decadence. The fact that you can take your wife and family or your girlfriend this weekend to a beach resort or a fabulous restaurant or a ball game or whatever, they think all of that is violation of their faith. They think you should be subservient to Allah, and that should be your entire life. They have no tolerance. Death to infidels. You and me, if you are a Christian, if you are an atheist, if you are an American, you are an infidel. And Mahmoud Khalil stands before these people at Columbia, rallies with all of this radical language, supporting a terrorist group who would just as soon kill everybody in that crowd that's cheering and supporting this as look at them. So anyway, Khalil also led a couple of violent seizures of buildings on the Columbia campus. Remember, they stormed some kind of event center and barricaded the doors. And that was like about a year ago, this time in 2024. So this guy has been responsible for a lot of property damage, a lot of improper seizure of university facilities. Anyway, the Trump Justice Department had enough of Khalil, who also distributes all kinds of hate-filled paraphernalia. His deal to come to this country was not based on him being the leader of the Hamas movement in America. He was supposedly here on a student visa, and maybe he is attending classes at Columbia. I don't know. Has he finished his degree? I'm not sure about that. But they have every right, and it's the Secretary of State, Mario Rubio, according to the Constitution. Anyone he deems in violation of any kind of courtesy the United States has shown, he can personally order that person expelled from the country. So Khalil was seized a couple of months ago, shipped to a detention center in Louisiana. And to get to the point, after the Supreme Court ruling, because Khalil's presence right now is in Louisiana, they had the federal judge in that jurisdiction hear the case. He ruled that the Trump administration, the Department of Justice, were in full compliance with all the constitutional requirements. Mahmoud Khalil could be sent back where the hell he came from, which presumably is his home country of Syria. Let him go hold rallies there with an audience that's sympathetic, instead of radicalizing young Americans who are not told the whole story. I mean, to suggest that Israel is the aggressor and Hamas and the Palestinian people are the victims. It's all of this, you know, mental game playing that all these professors, all of these outside influences convince American young people. And I fault parents from coast to coast. If you don't have your child better prepared and knowledgeable about the world, even if they're not really interested in that, and when, you know, let's face it, when you're 17 or 18 or 19 years old, you really don't want to be sat down and have world discussions. But an effective parent can work a lot of this conversation into just day-to-day interaction, just to kind of plant the counter seeds. So the first time they're exposed to someone with really radical beliefs, they don't just accept it hook, line, and sinker. Like, obviously, a lot of the quote, best and brightest, quote, young people in our country that get opportunities to go to these Ivy League institutions are absolutely being subjected to. And the reason our government is such a mess now is because for a long time, this controlling bureaucracy, administrative state only wants people out of Ivy League schools because they know they've already been prepared for this leftist view of everything in the world. And it's just not responsible because it's just not true. These are people that once again believe that they are elite, they are smarter than you. Anybody outside the Ivy League, anybody outside of Washington, D.C., anybody who's not in woke and extremely left California, they refer to the rest of the country as the flyover, because they're flying over places where they consider there's nothing but ignorance. There's nothing but stupid Americans who have been, they would think, they would argue, have been brainwashed to believe in their country and to support their constitution and to love their individual freedoms and liberty. They find that appalling because they're smarter than you. They should tell you what to think, and you should just absolutely join in without any resistance whatsoever. They want to trivialize your life. They want to dictate what you can eat, what you can drink, where you can go, what you can drive, what kind of appliances can be in your house, because they're just gifted. They're so much brighter than us. They are elite. They are the people that should be making the decisions. And if you want to live in a country like that, where you can move to Europe right now, because they're struggling in Europe with this free speech thing that is not free speech, because people are actually being arrested for criticizing government officials or questioning immigration policies, where now in Britain, there are so many immigrants, so many migrants that have just come into the country. The numbers are astounding. People that I know that have been to London recently, that go there frequently and have been there over the years, say you can't even recognize it now. It's become Muslimized. And again, I have nothing against Muslims. If that's your faith, that's fine. But you know what? All of these lawsuits and everything else that we've watched over the years, where a Muslim family sues because an elementary school wants to have a Christmas pageant or a Christmas party because it's offensive and it isolates their child for not being of that faith or belief. You know, I can honestly say this, if I was in a situation like that, I have no issue with my child being exposed to other religions or other ideology. But to these people, this is the worst possible thing that they could ever experience. But if that's the case, why in the hell are they in America? Yes, there's freedom of religion here. And yes, if at Christmas time I'm driving down the street and I see some giant Muslim display in front of a mosque, it doesn't offend me. Why can't we put manger scenes out in front of churches and public parks and different things of that nature? Is that really offensive? It just baffles my mind, and I hope that this is making some sense, that I think I speak for most American people. We don't care what religion you are. That's what America is all about. You have your religion. I have mine. The guy across the street has his, whatever it is. But as long as it doesn't infringe on my life or my beliefs infringe on their lives, that's what America is. It's everybody having the individual freedom and liberty to make their own choices. And anybody who opposes that should not be welcome in this country. I mean, it's bad enough we have to endure fellow Americans. Bernie Sanders had a rally over the weekend with thousands of people paying a bunch of donation money to get in, and they're cheering wildly for 85-year-old, he might only be 84, I don't know. But anyway, for Bernie Sanders, who is an avowed socialist, he says, I'm a socialist Democrat, whatever the hell that means, but that probably is a good description. He's a socialist, people. Socialism means we all are tying for first place. We all get a trophy, and the trophy is we all get to put our shoulder to the wheel, pay huge, huge portions of our paychecks so we can take care of everybody who doesn't want to do anything. Socialism is just a situation where there's no incentive to get ahead. There's no capitalism, free enterprise. Only the elites, Only the elites have the opportunity to enrich themselves and live the lives they want to live. That's what socialism is. It's why it has been a miserable failure in every country in the world's history that it's ever been tried. Margaret Thatcher once said, "The problem with socialism is you eventually run out of other people's money to spend. When the government takes all the money, then the peoples are getting into impoverished, the education lacks, the people just don't have the ability to pull themselves up out of that trap." And you've seen this happen time and time and time again. If you want to go to Bernie Sanders rallies and cheer wildly for the ridiculous radical ideas that he has, and he talks about fighting harder for what's right and for justice and for social justice and racial justice, and all that's fine. But if you do a poll right now of Americans, who cares about Americans most? Who cares about Americans' rights? Who cares? Who pays attention to the position people have, their lack of education opportunities, these terribly crime-ridden, impoverished neighborhoods? The worm has turned, folks. In the most recent polling, the Republican Party is now polling ahead of the Democrats, which has always positioned them themselves falsely, I might add, as the party of the people. It's not the party of the people anymore. The huge donors are the George Soroses and the massive corporations that are making billions of dollars of being in cahoots with the government, and it needs to be stopped cold. We need to adhere to our Constitution. When we get radical elements in this country, they need a ticket out. We don't need them in the country. We don't want them in the country. They say, well, this is a violation of Mahmoud Khalil's First Amendment rights. He's not an American citizen. He is not on the A list of having those rights. He has them. He can say whatever he wants, but if he's trying to radicalize the American population and spew terrorist hatred on a student visa, that's not what he's here for. He was not invited as a guest speaker to provide this other point of view from a radical terrorist organization. This guy is bad news. He needs to be on the first flight out. I don't care where they send him. I don't care what happens to him. And all of these people screaming, due process, due process. He has to have his day in court. He's not an American citizen. Ship him out. Get rid of him. I'm not sympathetic whatsoever. And I really think it's absurd when the idiot ladies on The View say, well, you know, we're next. They're going to say, well, Joy Behar, who's like 82 years old and still parading around like she's some hot celebrity commodity, and Whoopi Goldberg, they talk about they're going to be next because they're counter viewpoint to the policy of the Trump administration. They're American citizens. Nobody's going to come knock on their door and send them off to Indonesia. That's not going to happen. These are people in our country illegally. The guy who's called in the press a Maryland father was mistakenly sent to El Salvador. He wasn't mistakenly sent. This guy is an MS-13 gang member. He married an American woman, and the fact that she would marry a terrorist in MS-13 really speaks volumes for her character. But the bottom line is she's an American. She can stay. Her kid was born here in America. He can stay as of now. Birthright citizenship is another great discussion we can have in the future. But this guy is an MS-13 gang member, a court in 2019, an immigration court said this guy needs to go, ship him back. He's in a gang that's creating violence and crime, horrific crimes, human trafficking. There was a current Justice Department investigation into this guy. They've got tons of evidence. They know who he is. They were absolutely within their rights to send him out. And people are screaming, he didn't have his day in court. You know, you don't have a day in court for illegal people, especially the criminal element. This guy was MS-13, and he was, unlike Khalil, who is actually legally in this country with a student visa, this guy's an illegal. This guy is not allowed in this country. He crossed into the country, slipped in, was involved in MS-13 gang activity. He does not deserve due process. He's already a violator. He's already broken the law. He's a criminal by definition for that. See you later, Garcia. Enjoy the El Salvador accommodations, because that is where you belong. Maybe some people might think this a little harsh, but remember, due process, free speech, those are rights granted to you and me as Americans. And when people come here and step over that line, they are not welcome in this country, in my opinion. That's what you needed to know. Kip Kiefer, again, I appreciate everybody who listens. I hope some things resonate. Again, I want you to make your decisions like I do. A lot of thought, a lot of process, and a real strong conclusion, because I think that's the best way to utilize the God-given right that we've all earned by being born in this country and being allowed to take advantage of free speech and our First Amendment rights, and yes, due process, because we are American citizens, and violators to those things do not deserve the same consideration. I'll talk to you next week. Have a great week, everybody. It's April, and it's a glorious time, so enjoy your springtime plans. We'll see you next Monday.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.